Ben Dobbin.
I'm exclusively a free baller.
What can we say?
I'm sorry?
He wheels and he deals. For great deals on wheels, see the team at Southside Auto Auction Springwood. For wholesale cars direct to the public. SouthsideAutoAuctions.com.au.
Hey everyone, it's Luke, Dobbo and Margo. And this afternoon on the catch up, we're going to relive a great Gold Coast story. How about this? Some dude, he's just sitting at home yesterday and then his phone just goes into meltdown because it turns out this guy makes jeans. And Mount Tambourine. Now, when you think of the fashion icons of the world, Rome, Paris, New York, you don't add Mount Tambourine into that mix. But Meghan Markle yesterday somehow ends up wearing a pair of jeans that were made in Mount Tambourine.
Great story.
And his joints just blowing up. As a result,
they said that they normally sell about 10 pairs of jeans a day online,
right,
but they've completely sold out of two whole runs, which would probably be about 200 pairs.
Which means you women are a big mob of sheep. Like you're sitting around waiting for icons to tell you what to wear instead of Dobbo sort of marching to the beat of their own drum and finding something for themselves. They just sit around waiting for the Kim Kardashians and the Meghan Markles of the world.
Well, if it's good enough for them, Luke, it's good enough for us, I say.
But did you know? Like, how would you?
No, I had no idea until I read it in the paper today.
But would you?
The thing that I like about it is it's not like an H&M or a Zara or an English brand or something like that. It's a local Mount Tambourine brand, husband and wife, raising two girls.
That's all good.
But still
would
cheap.
Would you, because she makes skinny jeans, you weren't aware of it, and be dead honest here, if you could get a pair and
I've
buy a pair.
I've already bought a pair online, don't I?
Oh, my God.
I did buy them.
Did you really?
Yeah, I knew it.
I knew it. I knew she would have.
I just want to see what they're like.
Of course.
How much they cost you?
$199.
I knew it.
Which is not bad for a good pair of jeans.
I knew it.
She just wants to be like in the in crowd all the time.
I just want to see if they're any good because you know what? The challenge of women buying jeans, like you have to dedicate a whole day
to find good
jeans.
Save it.
You do.
Save it. It's a whole nother topic about women buying jeans.
But it's a challenge. And so, you know, if there seems to be a fair bit of, hoo-ha around these jeans, I'm going to try them out. I want to see it. As long as they make my butt look good and my legs look long and skinny, they get the tick of approval.
Well, they got the tick of approval from Meghan Markle. She's
skinny.
You know what's going to end up happening.
Everything looks good on you when you're skinny.
Dobbo, don't you just know she's going to end up shagging Prince Harry?
Yeah, like there's a big just, chance.
Me?
Yeah, you will.
I'll shag him.
Yeah.
I'm not into rangers.
You're not into rangers.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
Okay, if you had to shag, and we're going slightly off topic here.
Big time.
But this is what we can do in the catch-up.
If you had to shag Prince Harry or Prince William,
ooh,
who are you going?
Harry. But only because William's balding.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sort of racist against bald people, Dobbo, don't you think?
Yeah, big time.
You know?
But Prince William was hot like 10 years ago.
He's not hot anymore.
Not so much anymore.
Okay.
Harry's like a bit cheeky, bit of a rat bag. He's got a bit of character.
I've got another one for you.
Yeah.
Malcolm Turnbull or Prince Charles?
Oh, Malcolm Turnbull.
I wasn't asking you. I was asking Dobbo.
Prince Charles.
Okay. Anyway, what else on the catch-up this afternoon? I'm sure we did other good stuff, but I can't remember. Oh, boxing. Yeah, that's right. We had Sammy Hargraves came in and gave us a bit of a controversy that went down at the big Jeff Horn press conference, the Savo. We'll play that for you.
We all found out they're a big bunch of crybabies. We all have a bit of a tearjerker in a good movie.
Yeah, we certainly did, and I like doing that. No. Luke and I cry a lot in movies.
Well, listen to the catch-up, and you could try and work out what Margo's talking about now. Is that what we'll do? Yeah?
Yep.
Anything else, Dobbo? Is there anything else up there worth us whacking into the...
Women have got their own way about driving. This is... Once again, the men
Dobbo thinks he's a better driver than anyone, but he has no points. He has $1 million worth of fines.
Mm.
How many times have you lost your license?
Margo, I have 12 points. I have a full deck of
12
points
that you've lost.
No, I have a full deck
They've
of points.
They've all come back.
How did you get all those points back, Dobbo?
He knows a guy at Queensland Transport.
No, it's even worse. We can't even say. Anyway, Dobbo's given it to female drivers on the catch-up this afternoon, and you'll hear it for yourself if you listen to this. It's starting right now.
In the world of political correctness, and we are all for women getting equal rights and all for equality.
Since when, Dobbo?
No, I think, look, society's changing. Mm. But when the shoe's on the other foot, I think this is page 9 of the state paper today, males are slugged the worst for car insurance.
What is that?
Oh, so now
males
you give a
are
damn.
Being slugged for car insurance more than any of their female counterparts.
Boom.
And the reason being?
Sexist.
Just because they're men. Insurers believe men are a higher risk. And
men also get paid higher too, Dobbo, so you should be able to afford the higher insurance premium.
That's not true, Margot.
No, but are they basing it on the fact
they're basing it on their higher risk, yeah, all males, over the course of what they believe their history.
Yeah. You know why? It's probably that men have more accidents
than
women.
Well, they're more reckless,
but
yes.
Do you know why men...
Women are more well thought out.
Do you know why men have more accidents than women?
Because they do all the driving.
No, it's because they have to deal with women drivers on the road.
Well, it got me to that point. Now, I'm only going off a lifetime of being married, divorced, engaged, I've had partners, but there is not one female in my life that is a better driver than me.
Whoa,
I'm being serious.
If we rolled out a rap sheet on driving history, points, fines, losses of licenses,
yes, but
just
that
between
that
the three of us, there's two men in here.
Completely separate things.
Being a better driver means obeying the rules of the road.
No,
if you're
doesn't.
Speeding
no,
and losing
in,
your license.
In your opinion, it does, Margot. See, I would say that being a better driver would mean you have less accidents. And you cause
less accidents.
And so... I take your point. Like, you might be a more conservative driver if you don't have
driver.
Yep.
Yes.
You might obey the speed limits and all that sort of stuff. Doesn't mean you're a better driver.
Like, KG has never been booked in a life, never had an accident.
Nerd.
Shocking driver. I mean, a shocking driver.
What does she do that's so terrible?
Well, she just. I was about to say she drives on the speed limit.
She drives a fraction under.
Like, not one. My mum never had a car. Dreadful driver.
Yep.
Because you know what? They haven't got vision. There's no. And this is. I'm not being sexist here. A lot of female drivers don't look ahead of themselves. They're just concentrating on their own little world right in front.
That's a very broad generalization.
And when you're driving, you need to look ahead about what's going on in your driving conditions. Generally, I don't think women do.
Hey, Dobbo, I got one for you. My mum.
You're too busy looking down at your phone. How would you know?
I don't have my phone. I put it in my glove box. New rules have taken place.
My mum's never had an accident in her life. She's coming up towards 70 years of age. Yep. Never had an accident.
Mm. Cautious.
Slows down at green lights in case they turn orange.
Exhibit A.
And now, what's that do to the traffic behind you? Yeah, she's not having an accident, but how many accidents behind her has she caused? Hey, this is an interesting one to chuck over to our listeners, Dobbo. Who do you reckon is a better driver, men or women? And I know we're being broad here.
We're not being broad, but I think even...
In my relationship, I feel like I'm the better driver.
Yeah, but you feel like you're the better everything in your relationship,
Well, that's
Margo,
true.
So that doesn't give it a lot of kudos. Look, I'd like to hear, give us a call. In your relationship, and I want honesty here. If you're the worst driver in your relationship, you can own it.
Mm.
Like, I know I'm not good at night because I probably need glasses and I tend to not see things. But during the day, yeah. I'm a brilliant driver.
Hey, you don't be so hard on yourself at night. You're generally asleep. Anyway, yeah, give us a call and we'll take your thoughts on that coming up next. Look at this, Dobbo. You've sent our phones into meltdown. What have you done to us this time?
Yeah, look, we're talking about male drivers. They're now getting slugged the most car insurance out of anybody in this politically and equality world that we live in. I think it's wrong. Every female that I am involved with is a worse driver than me.
Yeah, but these guys are professionals. They've obviously done the research and have the statistics, and that's what they're going off. It's not just what you think or seen while you're on the road.
I'm only going off what I know, and what I know is normally always right. we asked for your calls.
You,
Mark from the Sunny Coast. Who's the worst driver in your relationship?
Oh, God. I've got too many. I just went on a road trip to Melbourne, and I tell you what, my nerves are frayed. I'm a nervous driver. My wife thinks she's the greatest driver in the world. She's written off two cars, by the way.
Yeah.
It's shocking. It's like when Margot was saying that she's the best at everything, my wife's the same.
Yeah.
When you're driving along, you'll see something, you go, like this, and you ever had that with you when you're driving?
She's reactionary.
I haven't, mate. Swerves for kangaroos. You just got to hold your line. I get it 100%. No, you have to, mate, because you know what? It causes accidents.
That's what I do.
Hey, we're not in Boggabilla at the moment, mate. This is southeast Queensland. Not that many of us are dealing with the ruse. Hey, we'll chalk one up for the women there, mate. Good on you, mate. We're saying women are the worst drivers there. Who else was calling through there, Margot?
Willow from Labrador. Are you the better driver or your partner?
Well, it'd be hard for me to be a good driver. I've got no sight.
Oh, you're blind. Willow.
Willow's a mate of mine. He lost one eye when he was 14. 14, and then 13 years later, he lost his other eye.
I remember you telling us this story.
Completely blind from the age 27. So how can you weigh in on this, Willow? Because obviously your missus does all the driving, given that you're blind.
I do it drunk.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't condone that.
Yeah, well, mate, what's the story?
Well, I've just got a new guide dog, 2 weeks of training, and I've been nearly cleaned up probably four times, and the amount of accidents at roundabouts, probably maybe 10 times we've seen. I've been cleaned up nearly twice on pedestrian crossings, three times in the last 2 days.
Yeah, by men or women, mate?
All female drivers.
Oh, there you go.
Well, too busy doing
that. And I know this from my guide dog instructor. He because it's a brand new guide dog to me,
right?
And he keeps telling me it's just young female drivers, middle-aged female drivers, sort of around that 27 to 35 sort of age bracket. They look in the car and they're just no concentration.
Yep.
I think the thing here for women, and I'm going to defend, is the fact that we have an advantage where we can do more than one thing at a time. It's called multitasking.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure if you guys have heard of it, but men generally only be able to seem to do one thing at a
time. Whereas
you can multitask multiple things. We feel so confident in our ability to be able to do all of those things so well at the same time that maybe our focus is not always where your priorities are. Yeah, on the road.
Maybe. Darren from Alex Hills, what do you think, mate?
Oh, females are terrible, buddy.
What do you do for a living, mate? Just so we've got a clue. You drive every day for a living?
Yep. I install shower screens every day of the week.
Right.
Tradie, you're one of the worst.
Oh.
Tradies are the worst, I reckon, on the road. If we're going to generalise and say women are the worst, I reckon tradies are the worst of the men drivers.
Settle down.
We got your
choice. Why are we the worst, Darren?
You guys and Uber drivers decided to go, oh, darn, there's my exit. Just go, I'm going. No courtesy wave. 9 times out of 10, most males will go, soz, my bad, courtesy wave, all's good.
Yeah, I'm all for a courtesy wave. I love the courtesy wave.
Well, at the moment, we're running at a 100% strike rate here of women.
But they only took calls from men. That's why. Where's all the women at? Come on, ladies.
Don't worry, KG.
Probably getting towed because the cars have been crashed.
You know what?
KG waved in. She said, you are a dreadful driver. You're on your mobile 24-7 in the car. You speed and you can't see.
Well, I was actually thinking, Dobbo, the reason we're not getting any calls from the chicks is because they're obeying the speed limit and the road rules at the moment and not using their phones
while they're driving.
There was a big press conference today with Jeff Horn, and apparently he gave it to Anthony Mundine, Dobbo, because Mundine's not carrying his share of the weight with regards to promoting the fight.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things he's upset about. Our man on the ground, Sam Hargraves, was there. Hey, Sammy, how are you?
Hello, team. How are we?
What happened? Because Jeff Horn's a pretty reserved character. Don't tell me he got fired up today.
Listen, this will be about as fired up as you'd ever see Jeff Horn, maybe the world's nicest human. I think he even raised his voice.
Really?
So you can just imagine when he was a school teacher, when any of those kids stepped out of line, it would have been a terrifying sight.
But, he would have been a good school teacher, Jeff Horn, because he doesn't raise his voice. And he's not one of those teachers that would have gone off his
very
chops.
Measured.
Yeah.
Margo, you've actually got the statement that was released in regards to what he said. Just read it out so we all can understand exactly.
Yeah, so he said that he's frustrated that Mundine has signed the fight and then quickly left the country, leaving Jeff Horn to carry the load of promoting one of Australia's biggest boxing nights in history. You know, how often does boxing get the opportunity to shine in Australia with two big names like this? And he says, now I'm left to also carry Anthony's share of the promotional load for this fight. Travelling, talking to you guys and doing the promotional work is draining, but I'm committed to helping making November 30 a huge success, and I would just like to see Mundine doing his share.
The interesting thing after that, and we were asked the question, what would you like to see happen? Because you're going 50-50 in the purse, so, and if he's not doing 50-50 of the promotion, what would you like to see happen? And Jeff was very adamant that he wants to go through the contract and see if they can actually trim his cash.
Oh,
really?
That
won't be happening.
Well, if they've already signed a contract, that would, you know, like, surely they should have put in the contract, you've got to carry 50% of the promotion. It sounds like Jeff's trying to change the terms after the contract's been signed.
We asked him that and he said, look, I have to double check, but if I can, then I will be asking for him for his pay to be docked.
Right.
Where is Mundine?
Really?
He's in Florida at
What's
a training camp. Well,
uh-huh.
Jeff thinks that he's very, very worried about the fight. These are Jeff's words. He said, Mundine's very, very worried about the fight. He's trying to find fighters that are a bit like me. So he's gone out of the country to try and find them, to get away from prying eyes and to do his training because he believes that Mundine's more scared of this fight than he's been of any other.
Could I make the argument that Mundine's done more to promote the fight this week than Jeff Horn? Because he has come out and said that he wasn't going to stand for the national anthem, or he didn't want the national anthem played or something along the lines of that. That garnered way more headlines headlines than whatever Jeff Horn has done promotional-wise this week. So you could make the argument that even though he's out of the country, he is carrying his weight with regards to promoting the fight because he's being controversial, which is what we expect Mundine to do. And did he respond to that at all, the national anthem stuff?
Yeah, it was actually... Mundine did say before the Danny Green fight that he wanted to kneel or sit down when the anthem was on. This time all he said was when someone asked him, do you think the anthem should be changed? He said, yes, I believe it should be. He said, I think that anthem needs to be changed so it's more inclusive of all Australians, and he believes it's still an anthem that's offensive to a lot of Indigenous Australians. So the Horn camp are saying that he did raise it in the negotiations about maybe getting it taken out of the pre-fight entertainment or build-up. It was knocked on the head pretty quickly and away they went. Jeff did speak about it today and said that he wants it to be included in the fight. He was very proud that the anthem played before his last fight at Suncorp and he wants it to be there again. He did say, though, that he was more than happy for Anthony to have something that reflected the Indigenous values, Indigenous culture before the fight as well. And then when pressed on it a little bit more, said, look, he understands where Mundine's coming from, and if he doesn't want to be there for the anthem, he understands that too. So I think this is just maybe a little bit of a beat-up.
Right.
And trying to get that, you know, a bit more headline, a bit more...
momentum.
A bit more momentum leading into the fight. It's boxing promoters at their best. Jeff, go and say this. And we'll see if we can stir up a bit of trouble.
Unbelievable. Hey, unbelievable.
Sammy Hargraves, thank you for covering off on that for us this afternoon on the Rush Hour. We appreciate it.
I suggest that you two do yourselves a favour, and that is go and see a movie called A Star Is Born.
I'm going. I'm booked in.
Starring Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Went along last night to the preview screening at Event Cinemas Coomera. We did our show from there a couple of last week.
Hey, that's a good cinema complex, by the way.
It is amazing. I tell you what, every seat in this cinema was like you're in gold class. It had
really?
All the soft, comfy, plush leather. You could recline in your chair. It's all tiered seating, so enough so that you've got enough room to recline back. And then the seats at the front are all like day beds.
Oh,
so
really?
You can lay down as a couple and watch the movie like you're in your bed at home.
So you weren't in gold class, but that's
just your
regular ticket.
But this was in VMAX.
Right.
And it had like this curved screen. Anyway, it was awesome. So do yourselves a favour and go along. But this movie was incredible. Lady Gaga, I was a little bit sceptical. You know, she's a very, very talented singer, performer, songwriter. And sometimes it's hard to cross over. You know, when, you know, singers cross over into actors or models, etc. You know, you're kind of always a little bit sceptical that the transition is not going to go so well.
Can she act?
Mate, she was phenomenal.
Is she?
A little bit too much Botox in her head because you could see some of her expressions were a little bit strained. But outside of that, she was fantastic. And this movie,
Don't give it away.
So good. I'm not going to give it away. All I can tell you is I bawled like a baby.
Did you?
I sobbed and sobbed like the ugly cry sob, you know, where you have to put your hand over your mouth because you're embarrassed that everybody's looking at you and you're the only one ugly crying and you're screwing your face up and the tears are rolling down your cheeks.
That's
the kind of crying.
Were you looking around?
I was like...
No, but were other people crying or was it just you?
Oh, I was too concerned about my own crying.
Right.
And it's dark too because you can't see. But the girl that I was sitting with, a girlfriend of mine, she was crying too because, you know, you hear the little sob like the and then we looked at each other, we're like, oh my god, that's so sad.
Is it common for you to cry at movies?
Well, not really. I'm not much of a crier. Every now and then one gets me. That My Sister's Keeper with Cameron Diaz, that got me. But this, I haven't ugly cried like that for a while. Normally I shed a tear because you can relate. And generally if it's kid related, like, you know, kids are sick or someone dies or something like that.
I watched a movie last night.
You cried.
About that, Margot. I cried last night during a movie. I watched the movie Wonder.
Oh my god, and I cried in it.
Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, brilliant movie. It's on Foxtel at the moment. Just stumbled across it. And next thing you knew,
Had you not heard about it?
Never didn't know anything about it. I started watching it. And next thing you knew, I didn't cry once, Dobbo.
Countless times.
I may have cried half a dozen times throughout the course of this film, and I watched it by myself.
Yeah, it touched you in a way.
But that movie is designed towards making you cry.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's geared up for it.
Cried a couple of times. Now, I don't want anybody to judge me, but there's a movie with Julia Roberts in it, and it's a little bit older. But I can't watch it because I cry.
Pretty Woman.
No.
When she charges that amount?
Steel Magnolias. Oh, my God. It is like, I bought, and I know it's a chick flick, and I don't know how I ever stumbled across it.
I reckon I'd cry if I had to watch that too.
Oh, yeah. Mate, it is a real...
My sister's a serial cry. Like, she cries, like, in any movie. She actually cried during the Bathurst highlights in some of the crashes. They had the top 10 crashes, and she was crying for them because they crashed, and then they couldn't finish the race, and she found that sad. But I always find it a bit awkward because I look over in one part of the movie, and she's, like, bawling her eyes out. She's so sad. But Corey has cried in a few movies.
What's he cried?
And that's always weird because, you know, like men don't really cry. So when they do cry, you know, it's kind of like it could be a bit uncomfortable. And the one movie that he cried in was Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. When Bruce Willis pushes Ben Affleck back into the space thing and says,
I cried,
after my daughter, you know, that part and The Notebook.
I haven't seen that.
You know, at the end where they lay down, she has Alzheimer's and he comes and reads to her every day and then they lay down in bed and they go to sleep and they don't wake up together.
Grow a set, Corey.
Oh, it's so sad. It's sad.
If you want to talk about embarrassing crime, my two most embarrassing ones with movies are Seabiscuit, which is a brilliant movie.
Great movie.
Tobey Maguire? It's about a horse.
Mate, it's unreal, mate. True story. And when
that is an amazing...
You don't throw a whole life away just because she banged up a little. That gets me that bit. And then also this one's the more embarrassing one. I was on an airplane, can't remember where I was flying, but next thing you know, I was bawling my eyes out and I was watching Bad News Bears with Billy Bob Thornton. And right at the end when he puts the kid with the wheelchair onto the baseball, he says, it doesn't matter if we win, mate. It's just about having fun. It gets me. Bloody gets me.
You boys have surprised me because I didn't think that you two, I wouldn't have
I'm
picked
not much
you
of
for
a cry.
Criers. Yeah.
Hey, we should open the phones up, though.
13 27 10, give us a call. Do you cry in movies? Are you a serial crier? Or does your partner cry? Like, Dobby and your partner, are they a crier?
If your husband...
What movie?
It's funny when guys, you know...
Guys cry.
When guys cry in movies. Yeah, dob your partner in. That's a good one too, when they're pushed out like that. That's funny. It is. It's funny.
Found something that we all have in common. That's what we like to cry in movies. You and I in parallel universes last night, Luke. You at home, me at the movies, crying, watching a flick. Seems to be a bit of a common thing.
I don't cry often. I don't cry often, but I did cry in this movie last night.
Yeah, well, I bawled my eyes out watching that new Lady Gaga movie, which I was surprised because I kind of wasn't, you know,
ready
sold on the fact that she was going to be fantastic in it, and she was, and it was a really great movie. And yeah, I bawled like a baby, like a full ugly cried bawled.
I cried on Monday morning. Only because the Cleveland Browns got beaten.
Bubba from Burley, what movie did you cry in?
Oh, The Champ. Have you ever seen The Champ with John Voight?
No. John Voight is Angelina Jolie's father, just for clarification. What happened in The Champ that made you cry, Bubba?
Oh, he was a boxer and he was fighting to win money for his son, and he died after the fight. He died.
Oh, mate, you just ruined the movie for us, mate. Don't have to watch it anymore.
Can you just say it again, though? That Scottish accent's cool. Is that Scottish, Bubba?
It's Welsh, mate.
Yeah. Welsh. Yeah, that's cool.
Yes.
Hey, rock
on. Welsh, mate, you need to go and watch The Champ. It's awesome.
The Champ.
Man, thanks for your call and thanks for bringing your weather with you. We appreciate it. Who else has called through there, Margo?
Gemma from Ormo, what movie made you cry?
Marley and Me.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, that's a sad.
Aniston and Owen Wilson. Yeah.
With the
and
dog.
The golden retriever.
Yeah. But I mean...
I saw it with my mum and dad and my dad told me to grow up and I was about 14 years old.
Oh.
What, hang on, your old man said grow up.
Yeah, because I was crying at a dog.
Oh, your old man's got to get over it. Oh, I mean, I say that jokingly to Coralie. Like, I used to say to her, come on. Like, when she was seven, I'd go, oh, come on, you're carrying on like a seven-year-old girl. You know, but she was a
seven-year-old girl.
I was only joking. Your old man sounds like a real hard ass if he's saying, he's saying to his 14-year-old, grow up.
My old man's a truck driver, so he's definitely a hard ass.
Hey, thanks so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Jeff from Benora Point, is it you or your partner in this movie that made you cry?
Nah, me. Beaches.
Oh, yes, I cried in Beaches.
And I even get emotional when I hear the song Wind Beneath My Wings on the radio.
Did you ever know that you're my hero?
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Mate, I cried in that when she passes away.
What sort of crying are we talking, Jeff? Is it just, a bit of a tear from the teardrop down to the cheek, or is it a full-blown ugly cry?
Nah, full-blown ugly, yep.
Yeah, he turns his T-shirt into a handkerchief. Put it that way, Margo. That's a decent cry you got on you. Rock on, mate. Thanks for your call. You need to go and grow a set with Dobbo, quite frankly. Steel Magnolias, Dobbo. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Fair dinkum.
Yeah. Sounds like you're a bit of a fan of Barbara too, Dobbo.
A little bit, yeah. Barbara, who? Bette Midler.
Barbara Streisand?
Bette Midler.
Barbara Streisand was in Beaches, wasn't she?
No. Bette Midler.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Okay.
But both ordinary-looking women, I think that's where you're going to cue.
Hey.
A great story in the paper today about how the Royal Tour, Margot, has affected a Gold Coast company. And this is great, because I couldn't give two tosses about what the princess is wearing, but it turns out a lot of people do, and it's had a wonderful effect, almost like a lotto-like win for one of our Gold Coast companies.
Yeah, well, one of the many challenges we face as women is finding the perfect pair of skinny jeans, and it seems that James Bartle from Denim Outland Denim has done that for us. James, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thank you very much.
How many pairs of jeans have you sold in the last 48 hours, James?
You know what? I wouldn't even know, because I was in Cambodia when all of this happened, and I've just flown back to Australia for the day today and heading back to our headquarters tonight.
Okay,
I'll be able to tell you tomorrow.
Let's stop and tell the audience what's happened before we go any further. So what happened was Meghan Markle wore your jeans, is that right? And then things just went berserk after they worked out that Meghan Markle somehow was wearing a Gold Coast, a pair of jeans that were made here on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. I woke up yesterday morning to my phone going crazy and, you know, messages from people saying that, you know, she's wearing her jeans and...
How'd she get them?
Yes, the question everybody asks, and there is a little bit of royal protocol around that where we're not allowed to disclose everything, but basically she's been provided jeans, and we have PR agencies across the world, and they seed product out to influential people, and they would... I guess, get a range of different products from lots of different brands. And it's kind of like we won the lottery. We got chosen. And, I mean, for us, it's the results have been astronomical.
Were you aware that she actually had chosen to wear your jeans? Or I know you sent them away and you were understanding, well, she might. But was there any acknowledgement from the palace that, hey, listen, on this day she's going to wear it, or it's just a luck of the draw?
Yeah, luck of the draw, I'd say. I mean, you would probably, even if you imagine for a moment that she might, you know, how likely would it really be is kind of the thought process. And I'm an optimistic guy, but, you know, to have Meghan Markle wear your jeans is crazy.
I think the coolest part about this, James, is that you guys are from Mount Tambourine, a really cool local small business, you know, on the rise. And the cool thing about your business is that you just mentioned you've come back from Cambodia. You actually have a factory in Cambodia where you employ many young women in the area to get them out of the sex trafficking slavery, you know, chain, I guess you can say, and you employ them. And so it's not only ethical, it's sustainable fashion as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for us, it's, you know, women from all sorts of backgrounds and, you know, vulnerable women that have been even sold into other countries and trafficked. You know, I watched the movie Taken the first time that's what really started this whole thing, was to see that this really happens in the world. And then upon going and seeing it for myself, that's when we decided we wanted to do something. And that's why this brand exists.
Do you reckon that the great story behind why you guys are doing this fashion label is the reason that Meghan Markle wore your jeans? Or do you think it was just because they're a great pair of jeans and she knows nothing about the ethical side of your business?
I would have to say it'd be twofold, because I don't think someone like her would wear just anything.
Right.
I think that they would research, I would think. But yeah, again, right. I don't know. I think that she would go, well, here's, you know, something's been produced ethically, except that if you go and look into the brand, then you see that it goes even beyond just doing it the right way. It's an empowerment program, and she stands for that herself, you know, and before she was married, you know, that you can see that she's been very, you know, vocal about, you know, women's rights and so forth. So
good on you.
She's probably the kind of person, I guess, would see that and go, well, then this suits me. But she's also pregnant, and for her to wear our jeans as a pregnant, I mean, that I'd say to her,
win, win.
For you. Like, yeah, like,
Unreal, mate.
Wear, obviously.
James, I'm always on the hunt for a good pair of high-rise skinny jeans. Oh, feel free to get your PR company to send me a pair. Mate. I'll plug them too.
She's no Meghan Markle, mate. She's no Meghan Markle. Hey, good on you, James. It's a great story, mate, and a Gold Coaster out there changing the world for the better, and what a great thumbs up and a great endorsement from Meghan Markle. So congratulations, mate. Hope it translates into... Hey, what's the name of your business? Give it a plug.
Outlander Denim.
Outlander Denim.
How good. What an awesome story for the Gold Coast. Yeah, great phenomenal story.
Ben Dobbin.
I'm exclusively a free baller.
What can we say?
I'm sorry?
He wheels and he deals. For great deals on wheels, see the team at Southside Auto Auction Springwood. For wholesale cars direct to the public. SouthsideAutoAuctions.com.au.